With you this morning. Turn with us over in the book of Acts, chapter number 2. I'll be brief in what I do this morning, but Acts chapter number 2, I do feel like that I need to try to get some truths through off of my heart from the Word of God. If you're willing and able, let's stand and honor the reading of the Word of God this morning. Found in the book of Acts, chapter number 2, we'll start reading in verse number 1. I appreciate the service the Lord has allowed us to be in this morning. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. I love this Bible word. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues or other dialects as the Spirit gave them utterance. You may be seated this morning. Father, thank you for the good day. I pray now you let preaching be easy just a few moments. Pray, Lord, you let me share my heart of what you fill me with. Thank you for the singing today. God, the testimonies, how you stirred amongst us. We're thankful of that. Touch all of our sick. God, our missionaries. We pray for our nation today. God, would you help America? God, would you help Israel? You've asked us to pray for them. Pray now that you do what only you can do by the sweet Holy Ghost this morning. And I'll be careful to honor you and thank you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Brother David has spoke about, he's glad he could go to church where the Spirit of God is. The Spirit of God has the liberty. The Spirit of God can move. And I would venture to say that a lot of places of the Spirit of God was taken out of this old world. They would continue on in their services, going through their formalities and doing things they've always done. But oh, how we need the Spirit of God to lead us in this day and this hour. As we started through the book of Acts, I want to remind you, it is a book of transition. The book of Acts is not what we receive our doctrine from. We get our doctrine from our epistles. But here it's a progressive history from Judaism into Christianity. You've got to realize as the Lord came, walked through this world, and in his culture, the Jews were pretty much the rule of the day. And so as he was headed to the cross to die for their sin, my sin and your sin, it was a new time. And we find now, not only in the gospel, those gospel facts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but now we see these glorious acts found. And here in chapter 2, you'll see the word mentioned of the Holy Ghost. I want to say, by way of introductory, we see the glimpse of the Holy Ghost. Now, the name, the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, in the Bible, the Old Testament, we find there were 90 passages that we find about the Spirit of God, direct references to Him, only 90 times in the Old Testament. But here in the book of Acts, he appears for a reason. And these names that are in the Old Testament, they are in relation to the Father. He's referred to as the Spirit of God, as the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord God, referred to the Spirit. He said, my Spirit, thy Spirit, and his Spirit. So these names are in relation to the Father. But then a second category, these names, they express the Spirit's character. He says, the good Spirit, a free Spirit, the Holy Spirit, His Holy Spirit, and a new Spirit. So these names are in relation to the Father, and these names express His character. But thirdly and lastly at this point, the third group referred to His operation upon men. He's referred to as the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the Spirit that was upon Moses, and the Spirit of grace and supplication. So we find now, as the Spirit of God has sort of been through the pages of the Old Testament, he's really not been in the forefront, but he's been mentioned 90 times. Now he appears in the pages of the Bible in Acts chapter number 2, and we get a glimpse of the Spirit. Thank God for the Spirit of God. He is co-eternal. He is co-equal with God. For we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. This glimpse of the Spirit we find in first in Genesis 1:1. Isn't it amazing? Young people, notice this. If they ever try to teach you anything different in school, in Genesis chapter number 1, and verse number 1, in the beginning God, He created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And here's our text. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said. You'll notice God never said anything till the Spirit moves. And oh, how in this day and this hour we need the Spirit of God to move amongst His people, that the Word of God would go forth and we would get help in our life in this day and this hour. The glimpse of the Spirit, we see Him in creation. Then secondly, we see Him in the Old Testament in conversation. He spoke through Ezekiel the prophet. Aren't you glad that you have met some men of God, that the Spirit of God has spoke through their life unto your life and give you help in this day and this hour? Brother Brian Haney's here today, good friend of mine, a good preacher, a good pastor. And oh, how we need Spirit-filled men in this day and this hour, preaching the Word of God to uplift the cross and to help Christians along life's way. The glimpse of the Spirit. We see Him in Genesis 1 in creation. We see Him in the book of Ezekiel in conversation. But you remember one of my Bible heroes, Samson. We see Him in confirmation. For the Bible said in Judges chapter number 13, and the Spirit moved upon him in the camp of Dan. Aren't you glad that the Spirit is still moving in this day, in this hour? I was reminded, Brother Mike reminded me today, as Paul went down to Ephesus, and he is talking to the men, and he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they had to have been Baptists, for they replied, we don't even know there be no Holy Ghost. Can I tell you, we need the Spirit of God in this day, in this hour. Now there's the glimpse of the Spirit. Secondly, look at our text in Acts 2. We see the guest of the Spirit. He's no longer a visitor, but now He comes as an inhabitor. All through the Old Testament, He came as a visitor. Remember, the Spirit of God came upon men. He did not indwell men, but He came upon men. And God used Him through the Old Testament in a great way. But now, in the New Testament, the book of Acts, we see He's no longer a visitor, but He comes as an inhabitor. I'm glad He lives in us that are born again by the grace of God. So we see the guest of the Spirit. Look in John 16. I want you to mark your Bible. Always be able to refer to this text. In John's Gospel, chapter number 16, Jesus had something to say about the Spirit of God. The guest of the Spirit, we see His presence. No longer just a visitor, but now an inhabitor. John 16. Verse number 7, Jesus says this, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you, or advantageous for you, that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, not when it is come, the Holy Spirit is a person. When He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Verse 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He'll guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself. But whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine and shall show it unto you. I can tell you, according to the Word of God, any man that promotes himself, that's making much of him, he's not glorifying the Son. The Holy Spirit is always pointing toward the Son. And if we're going to be Spirit-filled, we better realize we're nothing, but He is everything. And so we see the guest of the Spirit and His presence. Jesus said that it's good for you if I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. How terrible it'd be to walk through this world without the Comforter. But I sure am glad He comforts us in all of our tribulation. You see, Jesus was with these disciples, with these apostles. Could you imagine being out there and not having the Spirit of God living in you? Young people, it's so important that you get saved. The Bible says when we get saved, the Spirit of God moves into us. He seals us and He protects us. He gives us the earnest of the Spirit, or the down payment, being assured that we're saved. Wouldn't it be terrible to walk through this life with a family going through heartaches without the great Comforter? Can I tell you today, you might have come without this great Comforter, but you can leave with Him living in your heart this morning. And I sure am glad that He comforts us in all of our situation. So the guests of the Spirit, we see His presence. He's no longer a visitor, but He's come to inhabit God's people. Not only His presence, but look at His person when He has come. And I want to say this today, maybe this will help you in your life. We must recognize and respect Him as a person. He's not an influence. He's not it. He is a person, and we ought to respect Him as a person. We ought to realize that He is a person. He lives in us. He moves through our sanctuary and our services, and thank the Lord that He does. His person, we must recognize, and we must respect Him as a person. He is co-equal. He is co-eternal with God. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 13, I want to read this verse to you, a very impactful verse found over in the book of Isaiah. Turn with us there in your Bible, Isaiah 40 and 13, about the Spirit of God. Isaiah 40 and 13. Let's see what he says about himself. Isaiah 40 and verse number 13. There the Bible says, "Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being His counselor, hath taught Him?" He knows everything about us this morning. He knows where we laid down last night. He knows when we got up this morning. And so certainly this guest of the Spirit, His presence, but His person, we must recognize Him and respect Him. So as a person, the Bible teaches us that we can grieve Him. I want you to watch this in your Bible. Ephesians 4 and verse number 30. Talking about the person of the Holy Spirit. We can grieve Him. It means to make sad or hurt Him. In Ephesians 4 and verse number 30. "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed to the day of redemption." Now I want to say this, to grieve Him. When we grieve God, it chokes the inlet. It stifles the inlet. When we hurt Him, we grieve Him. When we sin against Him, it hurts His feelings. He lives in us. You'll notice now as a child of God, when you sin, the Spirit of God that lives in you, He's so easily to be grieved. And can I tell you, He is so grieved in America in this day and this hour. How we have a nation that has absolutely come off of the Bible, living upon the rules of the flesh. But can I tell you, God is still holy. Our Bible is still right. And we that are inhabited by the Spirit of God must be careful that we do not grieve Him, for it chokes the inlet. Oh my goodness, I'll never forget the last time I really grieved God. It hurt me and it hurt Him. And when you grieve the Lord, what it does, it breaks that fellowship. Not relationship, but fellowship. And I want to be right with Jesus. I want everything in my life to be right. And we must be careful as a Christian. We must be careful as a church that we do not grieve Him or sadden Him with what we're doing and in our services. That's why so many times when I come in church, all I want to do is just mind the Spirit of God, glorify Christ and praise Him. If it's preaching time, preach. Just have church. Whatever happened to just having a Spirit-filled church and a Spirit-filled life and enjoying the goodness of God and the preciousness of His Word. It's such a blessing we can gather together today around the Word of God with the Spirit of God. The guest of the Spirit, His presence, His person. He is a person. We must treat Him as a person. We can grieve Him. It chokes the inlet. But 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19, we can quench Him. See, when we grieve Him, it chokes the inlet. But when we quench Him, it chokes the outlet. It chokes the outlet. Quenches Him. It means to extinguish. As a fire extinguisher, to put out. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse number 19, the Bible says, quench not the Spirit. Now, if we grieve Him, it chokes the inlet. But when we quench Him, it chokes the outlet. In other words, if He's wanting us to do something and we don't obey Him, we can quench Him. It's as taking a fire extinguisher and putting it out. It's a lot like in service where people goes to getting happy and stand up and praise God. I want to ask y'all something, you good Baptist folk this morning. You go down the ball game shout and holler, why won't you say something in the house of God? Can I tell you, I got more Bible. Don't get quiet on me now. I preached to you this morning. We got more Bible. We are to praise Him. Hold up our holy hand. I know everybody don't run and shout. I don't run and shout. But I enjoy the goodness of God. Hey, you can let a tear go every now and then. You can smile every now and then. God's been good to us. We don't need to pull a fire extinguisher out. Honey, somebody needs to throw gas on the flame. Don't throw water on it when somebody's enjoying God. Loosen the good Holy Ghost. Y'all just fan the flame every chance you get. I can tell you how you can fan it. You can say amen every now and then. Some of you men show our noise at home, but you act a little henpecked to me. You ought to say amen every chance you get. And ladies, if he won't say it, you can say amen. Ladies, I don't believe you can teach a man biblically, but I believe you can say amen in the church house. Lord, that got quiet, didn't it? The guest of the Spirit, His presence, His person. To grieve Him means to choke the inlet. To quench Him means to choke the outlet. And you know, God has so blessed us here at Liberty and how He's blessed people. It's so important that we know the mind of the Lord and the Spirit leads us. I'm thankful for men that I have surrounded me that will pray for me and help me in decisions and situations. God has used so many of you to encourage me. May we be a church that will always love our great Lord, always give Him the right of way. I've heard a lot of people say, well, preacher, you just need to calm down a little bit. No, somebody needs to fan the flame and enjoy the goodness of God. There's a young generation. You know why these contemporary churches are filled this morning? They don't have a lot of doctrine. They're real happy, clappy, saying words on a thing. And I know it's red cars, white cars, but I'm old-fashioned. But I'm going to tell you the reason that the old-fashioned Baptist churches have lost so many young people is because the leadership of the church and the members sat through such boring services that everything had to be this and that. They had to vote whether you could fix the water fountain or somebody. Somebody say amen. But can I tell you, I'm glad it's still some young people that is interested in the house of God in this day and this hour. I'm not saying you got to run and shout like a bunch of wild Indians, but you can worship God and respond to the Spirit of God. It bothers me as your preacher when the Lord starts moving and you don't respond. Does He live in you? No service is ever the same. As Brother David said, sometimes we weep, sometimes we shout. But we must always remember this. We're here by His authority. He runs this ministry. And I'm thankful that He knows what He's doing. For when I didn't know what to do, He always has. He's always been faithful. May we not grieve Him. May we walk in as Spirit-filled Christians. every week. I'm going to preach on that later on down the road, but being filled with the Spirit, it's a lifestyle. When we make a mistake, aren't you glad He said it? We'd confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We're one of the few people in the Independent Baptist Church that shoot our wounded. Can I tell you, we ought to pick each other up. None of us are perfect. We all need the Lord. We all stand even at Calvary. And oh, we need the Spirit of God in this day and this hour. The person, we must treat him as a person. Now, as that person lives in you, I'd be careful where I'd take him to. I'd be careful to what I'd let him hear. I would be careful to realize when we wake up, the person of the Spirit of God lives in us. And He's walking through every step of life in us. Oh, when I grieve the Spirit of God, it hurt my heart so. But I sure am glad when we can confess our sins. You say, Brother Ken, do you sin? Well, sure I sin. Because my flesh isn't saved. But I can tell you one thing, when I do sin, the Spirit of God that lives in me, that gets grieved, I don't like that going on in me. I confess my sins. And He's faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. The Holy Ghost, the glimpse of the Spirit, the guest of the Spirit, His presence, He's no longer a visitor, but now He comes as an inhabitor, His person. We must recognize and respect Him. We should not grieve Him. We should not quench Him. And then thirdly, the Bible teaches us in Acts 7:51, we can resist Him. When God moves on you, it's for a reason. I'll never forget this. I'm about done preaching. There was a lady in Mount Airy. I was having lunch with some preachers. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know why I didn't do it, but God spoke to me to go and get her meal. And I was a little hesitant. I just didn't, you know, there was a lady by herself, and I just didn't really want to bring that kind of witness out in front of everybody that there's a preacher going over there, you know. So I just sat there and I didn't do it. Boy, God began to deal with me. Yeah. And yes, sir. I said, you know, it don't matter what people think. I got up and tried to mind him and she is done gone. Can I tell you something? We're not to resist him when he moves on our heart. It's for a reason.
Yes, sir.
And if he moves on you, it will always line up with this Bible. You'll know if it's God if it'll line up with your Bible. That's why you need to know what the book says. Oh, how I want to mind him. So with him as the person, we can grieve him, we can quench him, and we can resist him. You see, a lot of times, God will knock on your heart. He's wanting to do something for you in your life, but you'll resist him. So many people resist the Lord. May we be an open-hearted church to say, Lord, it's whatever you want. Could y'all imagine this? I was thinking last Sunday, Brother Jamie, Brother Mark, and Brother David was back here. Could y'all imagine a preacher losing those three caliber of men and just leave? Connor, you know what I told the Lord? I said, Lord, now, I wish you wouldn't take all three of them out. But look what the Lord's done with them three men. He knows what He's doing. And when I don't have to agree with what He's doing, I've just got to submit to what He's doing because He knows the best for all of our lives. There is the glimpse of the Spirit all through the Old Testament. But now we see here is the guest of the Spirit. He comes no longer as a visitor but as an inhabitor. We can grieve Him, quench Him, and resist Him. So the guest of the Spirit, His presence, His person. But lastly, what about His purpose? Why did the Spirit come? Not only to comfort us, but in John 6:44, He came to fetch a bride. I still believe in John 6:44, no man comes to the Father except the one that sent me drawing. And I'll raise him up the last day. I want to go on record and I believe Christ died for everybody. Man has responsibility. The good Spirit of God comes and He deals with our heart and draws us to the family of God. At that time, we must reach back by faith and be eternally saved. So His purpose, He came to fetch a bride. Think about Isaac as he went. The servant went ahead, found the bride. Can I tell you, the bride's being made up. And when that last one is saved, we're leaving this world. I don't know who she is or who he is, but I know when the last one in this dispensation of grace is saved, we're all going home. And so the purpose of the Spirit is to fetch a bride, secondly, to form a body. In 1 Corinthians 12 and 12, he refers to the church as a body. I'm glad I'm in the body of Christ this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, look at this thought, and we'll be done shortly. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse number 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, men, many are one body, also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. He's come to fetch a bride, but he's come to form a body, the body of Christ. Does not matter your skin color, does not matter your background. Jesus died for all. And boy, when he saves us, he puts us in the body of Christ. And he forms it. He's the head. I sure am glad he's still working on me. So his purpose, he came to fetch a bride. He came to form a body. But lastly, he came to fashion a building. Isn't it amazing? 1 Corinthians 3 verse 9, that God inhabits his people. Isn't that amazing? God would live inside of us. That's an amazing thing. But I'm glad it's in my Bible. And you'll notice this, when you get saved, before you got saved, things wouldn't bother you. But after you got saved, things go to bother you. You know why? Because that person lives inside of you. And I sure am glad this morning there's the glimpse of the Spirit, the guests of the Spirit. And then lastly, there are the gifts of the Spirit. The Bible calls it the fruit, not plural, but in Galatians 5 and 22, last place I go, let's look at the gifts of the Spirit. We'll do some more teaching on this later, but I just wanted to show you this little truth this morning, the gifts of the Spirit. Galatians 5 and 22, it's singular, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. I like what the writer said about this fruit singular. It starts out with love. This one grace of love is revealing itself in all others. This one word, love, it is simply revealing itself in all the other attributes. Look what it says. Joy is love expressing. Peace is love at rest. Long suffering is love bending in the storm. Gentleness is love stooping to the lowly. Goodness is love reaching out. Faith is love looking out and up. Meekness is love bearing the cross. But lastly, temperance is love crucifying the flesh. I sure am glad for the gift of the Spirit. That fruit of the Spirit that He puts in us when we're saved gives us peace and joy. You know, as a young man, I tried to find peace and joy in a lot of things. And they all played out. But in 1981, when the Lord Jesus saved me from my sin, moved in my life, He gave me joy unspeakable and full of glory. The church, may we always realize the Lord is holy. He said about this world, come out from among them and be ye separate. He's not talking about isolation, but insulation. We've got to go in this world, but we're not of the world. We're to let our light shine. You'll be surprised who's watching you. And in this New Year's, Brother Lee stood in prayer room, may we let our light shine more. Witness to a lost and a dying world. And Liberty Baptist Church, may we ever give the good Holy Ghost the right of way in our service. You know, wouldn't it be sad to go to a church where everything is so disciplined that they don't give the room for the Spirit of God? Matter of fact, can I tell you something as you preacher? Church starts at 11. Y'all try to be here at 11 o'clock. Man, let's get together and watch the Spirit of God do great things. We're not going to stifle Him here. We're not going to be mean to nobody here. But we're going to preach the Bible. The Bible's still right. And I planned on standing on it till Jesus comes. Let us.